Welcome to another Economic Week in Review for August 28th through September 1st. It's read to you by Jonathan Andrew Walter of Jawspeak.com, formerly EconTechBlog.com. Thanks for listening. I eagerly look forward to hearing back from you. Send me all feedback to jaw@jawspeak.com, or you can leave me a comment directly on the blog, jawspeak.com. When you visit, also you can read the show notes and also see the sources I used to compile this review. Based on this week's reports, the U.S. labor market and solid manufacturing activity continued to hold up consumer spending in the face of deterioration in the housing market, as well as weaker consumer confidence. For the week, the S&P 500 index rose 1.2% to 1,311, and the yield of the 10-year U.S. Treasury note fell 5 basis points to 4.73%. The risk of inflation picking up in the months ahead is still present. Should that occur, the Fed may raise rates again. Higher inflation is never good for the financial markets. Employment growth showed some healthy numbers. Friday's non-farm payroll figure showed employment increasing by 128,000 jobs in August. That represents a 1.1% annual rate of increase that, if coupled with a 2% productivity growth, is consistent with continued real GDP growth near 3%. That would be good. That would be a soft landing that we're looking for. The payroll trend is also consistent with a soft landing, like I said, for the economy. The payroll increase was higher than the average monthly gain for the prior 4 months, which stood at 117,000 jobs. The unemployment rate for August was little changed at 4.7%, reflecting 7.1 million people who actively sought work in the past month, but not 1.6 million who wanted work but were not actively looking. Average hourly earnings in August rose 0.2 cents, or 0.1%, less than the increases in the prior 2 months. Tuesday showed the release of the Index of Consumer Confidence. It posted a sharp drop in August. A July reading of 107.0 fell to 99.6 in August, its lowest point since the period following Hurricane Katrina. The reading reflected consumers' increasing pessimism over both current and future business conditions. The number of consumers who saw jobs as being plentiful dropped 14.6%. The number who saw jobs as being scarce increased 7.6%. The proportion of consumers who expected that their incomes would increase in the months ahead, this is an important indicator for consumer spending, declined to 17.7% from 18.3%. The preliminary revisions to real gross domestic product, GDP, for the second quarter was close to consensus estimates. The economy grew at an annualized rate of 2.9% in the second quarter, higher than the 2.5% originally reported, but a sharp drop from the 5.6% annual growth rate of the prior quarter. The boost partly reflected strong growth in state and local government spending, as well as greater investments in inventories. Vehicle sales, which added the first quarter growth, detracted from second quarter GDP. Another major event was Tuesday's release of the August 8th FOMC minutes. The minutes clearly stated an inflation concern and strongly suggested that, at that time, many Fed members believed a further rate hike was likely. On Tuesday, however, the market rose on the idea other statements in the minutes conveyed regarding concerns of going too far with rate hikes. Consumer debt levels rose, which may have an influence in the fall of consumer confidence. The personal savings rate slipped further in July as the increase in personal spending continued to outstrip the increases in income. Personal savings as a percentage of disposable personal income fell to a negative 0.9% in July from June's negative 0.7%. The slip resulted from a 0.5% increase in personal income, which got a large boost from income on rental property, versus a 0.8% rise in spending, twice the prior month's spending increase. The Personal Consumption Expenditures Price Index, closely watched by the Fed, increased 0.3% in July. Orders for factory-made goods fell a less-than-expected 0.6% in July, Orders for durable goods fell 2.5%, while orders for non-durable goods increased 1.6%. Transportation and electrical equipment led the decline in durable goods orders, while orders for petroleum and chemical products supported the increase in the non-durable column. Manufacturing activity was positive, although construction spending was down, as the recent trend has been. The Institute for Supply Management, ISM, reported that manufacturers enjoyed a 39th consecutive month of economic expansion. The ISM index stood at 54.5 in August, little changed from the prior month. Construction spending fell 1.2% in July from June. The steepest fall was in private residential construction, down 2.0% from June. Private non-residential construction increased 0.3%, and public construction fell 0.7%, partly due to a slowdown in highway construction. Next week, the Federal Reserve releases its Beige Book on Wednesday, which provides an overview of economic conditions in the 12 Federal Reserve districts. This book will figure into the Federal Open Market Committee's rate-setting deliberations on September 20th. Other reports include the ISM Non-Manufacturing Index and second quarter productivity and costs. Both of those are on Wednesday. And the Fed's Consumer Credit Report comes out on Friday. Looking back at the economic reports for the prior week, we see a couple of them worth noting. Consumer confidence, this was the number that came out early in the week. It was expected to be 103 even. The actual value was below that, 99.6. And this is a measure of consumers' attitudes about the present economic situation, as well as their expectations regarding future conditions. Consumer confidence has a strong correlation with consumer spending patterns. Next one came out was personal income, personal spending on early in the week. It's a monthly report with revisions from the Department of Commerce on the income that households receive from all sources, such as wages and salaries, employer contributions to pension plans, rental properties, as well as dividends and interests. It includes data on personal spending for durable goods. Those are products with an expected life of more than a year, and non-durable goods and services. Key thing we noticed here was the personal savings rate was negative as a percentage of disposable income. And this is in an increasingly negative trend over the last 2 months. Factory orders came out earlier as well. It's a report on the dollar level of new orders for manufactured durable goods, goods with an expected life of more than a year, and non-durable goods. The report gives more complete information than just the durable goods order report, which is released 1 or 2 weeks earlier in the month. Factory orders, keep in mind, are a key measure of industrial product demand. The initial jobless claims came out. Comes out every week. Probably most of you are familiar with that by now. And you know to look at the longer-term average initial jobless claims, 4-week moving average, because that's a truer gauge. The employment situation and non-farm payrolls data came out. Comes out every month. It's reported the number of persons on non-farm payrolls, the rate of unemployment, and workers' average hourly earnings. It's considered a very timely and accurate reflection of labor market conditions. And this is the one that looked really good. We added more jobs than the average in the last several months. Construction spending, this was down, as we're seeing everywhere, with the housing slump that's coming across everywhere. The construction spending comes out once a month. It's a measure of the dollar value of new construction activity. It includes data on residential projects, everything from homes to apartment buildings, non-residential products, privately funded office buildings perhaps, as well as public projects such as schools or highways. Construction projects contribute significantly to gross domestic product. Lastly, the ISM index came out from the Institute of Supply Management. Comes out every month. It's an indicator of overall factory sector trends. Based on a survey of purchasing managers at several hundred manufacturing firms in various industries. An index above 50 indicates the manufacturing economy is generally expanding. Below 50, it's generally declining. It came out, expected was 55, the actual was 54.5. Once again for the week, S&P and 500 up 1.2%. And I hope that this was a helpful, little longer than normal, but I went to a little more detail some of the other reports, and also I compiled information from briefing.com, as well as Vanguard. Please send me your comments, feedback, suggestion, and everything else you can think of to jaw@jawspeak.com. Thank you for listening.